This afternoon, we'd like to see the title of a correction in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Before starting the Word of God, I give four questions. Number one, why did Habakkuk the prophet ask the first question from verses 1 through 4? The question one, why did Habakkuk the prophet ask the first question to the Lord from verses 1 through 4? Question 2, why did he ask the second question again from verses 12 through 17? Question 2, why did he ask the second question again from verses 12 through 17? Question 3, what does the Spirit teach us from the chapter 1? Question 3, what does the Holy Spirit teach us from the chapter 1 of Habakkuk? The last question, or bonus question, is it wrong for the expression of our grief during our prayers? Is it wrong for the expression of our grief to the Lord during our prayer? First of all, we'd like to see the historical backgrounds. You can see the 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 29 through chapter 24, verse 2. You can see basically Habakkuk the prophet was a contemporary to Jeremiah during 606 through 586 before Christ. That time, the 15th king of Judah, Josiah, the 16th king, Jehoahaz, the 7th king, Eliakim, or Jehoiakim. First of all, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went to help of the king of Israel. Egypt invaded into the Judah country from south toward the north. That time, the 15th king Josiah went against the Egyptian king Necho, so he was killed. Then Egyptian king Necho, his son, Josiah's son, Jehoiada, the 16th king, was stood up instead of his father Josiah, who was killed by Egyptian king Necho. But Egyptian king Necho did not allow him to keep on his throne continually. So he changed another king, Eliakim. He changed Eliakim's name, Jehoiakim. So he made a new king, Eliakim or Jehoiakim, the prophet. So Jehoiakim reigned there. Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold tribute to Egyptian king Pharaoh. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded the land of Judah. So Jehoiakim began serving to Babylonian king for 3 years. After that, he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So, Babylonian, Aramean, Moabite, Ammonite, all together invaded against Jehoiakim's king. During those political, historical periods, Habakkuk the prophet prophesied to Judah people. So Jehoiakim, the Bible said, he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. So Jewish kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. Also, Jehoiada also, he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. So they made idol worship rather than God. So God didn't want to keep injustice status continually. So at that time, the state of Judah was evil or wicked when Habakkuk, the prophet, saw the evil condition of the nation of Judah. He felt so awful, so terrible, so broken. Why did not God develop his own justice above injustice over the nation of Judah? So number one, first one, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. The prophet Habakkuk has the burden to pour out his heart, his broken heart, against the evil of Judah. So that time, Babylon just rose up and captured Assyrians who conquered northern Israel. The capital city of Assyria was Nineveh. So, the prophet Habakkuk sees the corruption of the government of Judah and the evil Jehoiakim, like Manasseh, the wicked evil king, did every evil thing against God. So Habakkuk had the burden to pour out his broken heart against the evil of Judah. Verse 2 through 4, prophet's question, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? So Habakkuk expressed his grief for the Judah country's injustice, evil condition. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, also Jesus Christ expressed his grief. On the crucifixion, Jesus said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus expressed his grief for separation between the Son of God and Jesus Christ and God the Father. Also, Psalm chapter 22, verse 1, also David cried out for his grief. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning or my sorrow, my grief? So when you as Christians pray to the Lord under severe depression or severe terrible, you may express your groaning, your grief to the Lord during prayer. Then God would give you strengthening, also comfort, also wisdom. Habakkuk, he cried out for God's quick development of justice among injustice of the nation of Judah. Cry out, but Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, we can see Habakkuk obeyed the law, whatever circumstance coming out. Also, Habakkuk was humble. Although the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, although the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, although the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, however, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. So here we can see Habakkuk had a joyful heart because of the Lord. He will rejoice in the Lord. He will joy in the God of salvation, God's salvation. So although he doesn't have any fruit, no fruit of vines, of fig tree, no blossom, or no flock, no herd in the stalls, but he is still rejoicing because of in the Lord. So we can see the verse 1, he expressed his grief or sorrow about the injustice condition of Judah. But consequently, he was humble, he was obedient to the Lord.
My son and I contribute to the Crystal Cathedral. Okay?
Good. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, God will reward you. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? That meaning still injustice over Judah is still prevailing over justice. There is a strife or fighting and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless. Law is not applied. And justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. The wicked prevails over the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Perverse judgment prevails. Or a crooked judgment prevails. So the prophet Habakkuk cried out, how come Lord did not develop your justice above injustice of Judah country? Then Lord's answer, the verses 5 through 11 basically said, God will develop His justice against Judah by using the Chaldean or Babylonian as God's instrument of judgment or correction against Judah. So right here, look among the nations of watch, be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days. During your life, God will develop His judgment for justice, which you would not believe, although it were told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans or Babylonians, the forefathers of today Iraqis, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the brightest of the earth. They used a lot of chariots to march, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They steal other houses, other places, other residences. They are terrible and dreadful or fearful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Your horses also are swifter or faster than leopards, animal, wild animal, and more fierce than even wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to hit. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand, which meaning they are catching all residents of Judah as captives to be carried away into the Babylon from Judah. They scoff at kings. They laughed at the kings of Judah, and princes also are scorned by them, by Babylonia. They deride every stronghold. So they destroy every stronghold. For they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. So they mounded a lot of hills, destroying another stronghold. This shows us warfare tactics. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense or he commits sin, imputing this power to his God. So the Babylonian trusts his power as God. So they had self-glory rather than glory to God. So really Babylonian is much more weaker, more evil than the nation of Judah. That's why the second question raised here, verses 12 through 17, how come God used more wicked Babylonians than Jewish people in order to correct Jewish people? That's a question by the prophet Habakkuk. Are you not from everlasting? I know you are everlasting. O Lord my God, my Holy One, I know you are holy. We shall not die. So we means the Jewish people, the nation of Judah. Because Judah elected by God as the people of God. So we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. So the God appointed or ordained the Babylonians for judgment against Judah. So God used the Babylonian as an instrument for correction or judgment against Judah. O rock, you have marked them for correction. O rock, meaning God is a rock. God is a fortress, our strength. O rock, you have marked them for correction. So God used the Babylonians for correction of Judah. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. So God cannot condone the wickedness. God should have corrected the wickedness of Babylon. Why do you look on? Or why do you condone? Why do you approve those who deal treachery? Why do you use the wicked country of Babylon to correct the Judah nation and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? So the wicked devours a person. A person stands for Judah. The wicked Babylonian devours Judah more righteous than Babylonian. So otherwise, the Judah less weaker than Babylonian. Why do you make men like a fish of the sea? Verses 14 through talking about the Jewish people was treated like a fish. So they catch a lot of fish. Likewise, they catch a lot of Jewish people like a fish of the sea, like creeping things, creeping animals. They, without mercy, catch all Jewish people to be carried away into Babylon. They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their direct nets. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. So after they catch all Jewish people as slaves, they are glad, they rejoice. Therefore, they sacrifice to their nets. So they made idol worship. They worship to their nets made by themselves and burn incense to their dragnets. So they are burning incense, perfume, to their dragnets. Because by them, their share is fat. Their share is plenteous, a lot of things. And their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net? So they make empty their net. So again, continue to slay nations without pity, without mercy. They are continually devouring, invading other countries, nations plural, not only Judah, but the other Assyrians and many countries. They are slain. So this lesson, this chapter teaches us in order to correct and punish people, God can do whatever instruments He pleases. Even more evil instruments may be used, but the evil will be destructive in God's control. This lesson is teaching us, number one, we should understand God's sovereignty or God's absolute authority or absolute power. In Romans chapter 9, verse 21, does not the potter have a power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? So potter stands for creator. God is a creator. We are creatures. So God can use whatever He pleases, He wants. He can use a creature, one creature for honor, the other creature for dishonor. One creature for wicked instrument, the other is for good instrument. Up to the Lord. So we learn God has absolute power over sovereignty over all creatures. Number two, as long as we love God in our heart and we are called according to God's purpose, we know that all things work together for good. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So let's see each answer to each question. Question 1, why did Habakkuk the prophet ask the number 1 question from verses 1 through 4? Because he wants God should develop justice as soon as possible to evil Judah. Question 2. Why did he ask the second question again from verses 12 through 17? How come God is going to use more wicked Babylon than Judah in order to correct Judah. So question three, what does the Spirit or the Holy Spirit teach us? Number one, God's sovereignty. Number two, all things work together for good as long as we love our Lord and are called according to God's purpose. The last question, bonus question, is it wrong for the expression of our grief in our prayer to God the Father? It is never wrong, but we should be humble and obedient heart like Jesus Christ or David or Habakkuk. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.